Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Hurricane Sandy is living up to her computer modeling, moving up the eastern seaboard, banging a left towards New Jersey. When she hits the New Jersey shore sometime later today, she's expected to have sustained winds of 90 miles per hour. Here in Massachusetts on Cape Cod, there could be gusts of 100 miles an hour. And the water. Federal hurricane experts put the storm surge threat at 5.7 on a 6-point scale. That's greater than any hurricane between 1969 and 2005. Well, let's start today on the Delmarva Peninsula. Delaware, you remember, in the upper right corner below New Jersey. Maryland's eastern shore running down the other side. Virginia has a piece at the bottom of the peninsula. An estimated 40,000 homes at a value of $11 billion in harm's way from Sandy. The mayor of Lewis, Delaware, says people who didn't evacuate could be without power and sewage for days. Marley Wade works at the Hampton Inn in Rehoboth, Delaware. Marley, what are you seeing?
Well, the wind is something fierce. The rain is coming down pretty hard. Our whole lobby was flooded, so a crew of us were just outside kind of digging trenches away from the building to get it out and put a sump pump out there trying to get the side of the building dry so it's not leaking into the guest rooms and into our lobby anymore. It's pretty crazy over here.
Well, by the way, you're just digging the trenches now. Is there a sense, wow, maybe we should have done this yesterday, or did you have to kind of wait and see where the water came?
We kind of had to wait and see what it was going to be like. About a year ago, we had a big ditch that was right next to us, and then Sakatumi moved in, and they filled that ditch with pavement.
Sakatumi?
It's a Japanese restaurant next door to us.
And so they filled in the ditch, and so you had to, like, dig a new one. So, boy, a flooded hotel lobby and a full hotel. We understand hotels are full up and down the coast. Are you full?
Yes, we are.
Who's coming in? Who's staying?
People that were being evacuated, Lewis Beach, Rehoboth Beach, Long Neck area. I mean, you name anybody who's in, like, a 10-mile radius that's being evacuated from their homes are kind of flooding our area.
You're a coastal town. But does this feel different? They're promising us it is different. Does it feel different?
It is a lot different than, for example, Irene. I was through the same situation last year here. The flooding was not nearly as bad. A lot of the problem is just the way the wind is. Irene was a cakewalk compared to what we're dealing with right now. Thankfully, we still have power, which is a great thing because of the amount of people that we have here. So we're able to, you know, continue to keep them happy and accommodate all of their needs at this point. But it's a lot different than anything I've been through with this property. I've been here for almost 7 years. Yeah. So.
Well, Marley Wade of the Hampton Inn in Rehoboth, Delaware, best of luck to you there.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
You guys too.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, let's head now about 30 miles south to Ocean City, Maryland. Nancy Howard, former Ocean City Council member. Nancy, what are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of rain, a lot of wind, and a lot of very high tides.
Now, what's happened there with your pier in Ocean City?
It looks like we've lost some of it. You know, these are the chances you take when you live on a barrier island.
That's true. And yet, are people taking chances? In other words, we know that Ocean City advised residents to evacuate. Did people heed the call to evacuate?
Well, they've evacuated south of 17th Street, which is notoriously low. I mean, we are a barrier island, and we are barely at sea level. I'm up at 94th Street, and my townhouse is built on filled land, which was higher to begin with, plus I have a garage underneath me, so I'm at least 20-some feet above mean low water. As long as the electricity holds out, I feel pretty secure. People have to be respectful of Mother Nature. We can't really do anything about her when she decides to unleash her fury on us, and that's what she's doing today.
Well, we know you've been posting pictures on Facebook. We'll link people up at hereandnow.org. But what are your concerns going forward?
My concern is the beach, of course. We spent millions of dollars over the past 25 years keeping our beach wide and high, and thank God we did. Because if we had an event like this without our beach replenishment, I venture to say Ocean City would be awash right now, and the bay and the ocean would be meeting.
That's Nancy Howard, former city council member in Ocean City, Maryland. Nancy, best of luck to you there.
Oh, well, thank you, Robin, and best of luck to everyone on the East Coast.
Well, here's a tweet we saw earlier from New York. Josh Gondelman writes, kind of want to get coffee. Also, kind of want to avoid headline, idiot murdered by wind. Let's check in New York with John Davitt, a chief meteorologist for New York One Cable News in New York. John, what's the latest there?
Well, things are starting to get pretty rough around here. Now winds are really starting to kick up. We've seen some gusts over 60 miles per hour. We're seeing reports of downed trees, and we're also getting reports of widespread storm surge and coastal flooding. So all the things we had feared are starting to come true at this point, and this is just the beginning of the worst of it.
Yeah.
So it looks like this is going to be a rough ride for New York City.
Well, 60 miles an hour, that's when you can, you know, rip not just shingles but eaves off of homes. Of course, New York City itself has different issues. We've seen pictures of flooding Rockaway Beach in Queens, but also along the promenade at Battery Park, right where the Statue of Liberty is. What are the concerns about things like the subway system underground?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of concerns for the subway system, especially Lower Manhattan and the Wall Street area. We're going to see another round of high tides tonight around 8:30, and when those hit, we're probably going to see storm surges probably 2 to 3 feet above what we saw this morning and 2 to 3 feet above what we had with Hurricane Irene last year. And those subway stations have been sandbagged in effort to try and keep the water out. But we think right now that the water is probably going to go as far north as Water Street once it overcomes the seawall there. And also the East River is going to see extensive flooding, parts of the FDR underwater just from this morning's high tide.
A forecaster at Weather Underground says there's a 50% chance that the surge will flood the subway system and, you know, that seawater getting in the machinery there. But also Wall Street closed. I mean, what are some of the concerns people are thinking about ahead?
Well, certainly the subway system is number one. If that seawater gets into our subway system, it is going to destroy vital equipment that could take weeks to replace. So you could be talking about a partial disruption of the New York City subway system for an extended period of time. That is a major, major concern. In addition to that, we could see a lot of trees down at Central Park, and they've got the marathon coming this Sunday. So one of the questions may be, can they clear out the park in time for marathon runners to safely run through there or even the rest of the city?
Well, and of course, it's a commuting city. And we spoke with the harbor master in Greenwich, Connecticut. People commute from all of Connecticut down to New York. He said by tomorrow, the town's double-decker ferries could end up in the parking lot because they're expecting an 11-foot surge above normal high tide level. So, you know, the area around New York is obviously getting hard hit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that's not going to be fixed just, you know, in one day. Like you said, if those ferries are up in the parking lot, it's not going to be an easy thing to get them back in the water. This could be a disruption of regular life for New Yorkers and the surrounding area for several days at least. And, of course, one of the more stranger parts of this tropical storm is that it's creating blizzards in West Virginia. So this is an amazing storm.
John Davitt, chief meteorologist for New York One Cable News in New York. John, thanks as always.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, that's why this storm is being called Frankenstorm, because it's going to be meeting up with so many others. It could reach the Midwest, the Great Lakes. We're going to hear more about the national impact of this Hurricane Sandy. But let's check in now with Phil Gregory, who covers New Jersey for WHYY in Philadelphia. He's been down on the Jersey Shore today in Bayhead and Point Pleasant Beach. Do I understand, Phil?
Yes, that's correct, Robin. Right now I'm in Brick Township, which is about 5 miles from the oceanfront. Let me open the door here, and you can hear that the wind and the rain is starting to intensify now, and it's really expected to pick up as the day goes on. Earlier I was making some checks of things, and I stopped in Point Pleasant Beach, which is a short distance from the oceanfront. Residents who were east of the railroad tracks there, this is the low-lying area as you get closer to the ocean, about a mile away. They have been evacuated from their homes because of the threat of potential flooding from the ocean waters. Most businesses in the town are closed. Many of them have plywoods across the windows so that their flying objects, projectiles, don't cause any serious damage. I talked to John Sass, who was an employee at Point Hardware, while he was putting plywood on the windows. He said they ran out of things like generators, flashlights, and batteries, and that disappointed some people who were coming there for last-minute supplies as they try to ride out the storm. Right across the street at the corner bakery, Josephine Gaffney, the manager there, had opened for a while this morning so residents who were going to stick it out could come in and get some bread and bagels, but unfortunately she ran out of milk, so some supplies are running thin. She's planning to spend the storm riding out in her upstairs residence there and hoping for the best. We talked to some other people in town who say they're getting more and more concerned by the minute, expecting this will be the worst storm of their lifetimes. Now, earlier I had stopped also in Bayhead, which is a little bit south of Point Pleasant Beach. That's on the Barrier Island. And even though all of the Barrier Island from all the way from Sandy Hook down to Cay May were supposed to be evacuated, some people don't want to leave. I ran into two women who were out walking their dogs in this thing this morning. And one of them said, well, my house is just recently renovated. I think it's never flooded in the past. It's probably a lot stronger now. And I think I can ride this thing out with the help of some neighbors. One of the other women with her who was walking the dog said she's going to stay there, hopefully ride it out, but if not, there's a truck she can jump in and hopefully make it out through some of the floodwaters, which have already started to occur in Bayhead. As I was there, you could see the real churning ocean. I managed to get up and take a quick look at it. Real surf coming in now, pounding the dunes and breaking through them in some points, causing some flooding on Route 35 and some of the side streets in Bayhead.
Well, I tell you, I mean, you paint such a picture for us, but you mentioned those people who said, we're going to stay, except maybe we're getting nervous and they're running out of supplies. We know your governor, Chris Christie, no softy there when it comes to telling people what to do. He closed the Garden State Parkway from Cape May to Atlantic City. I think that's the only major roadway out of that area. So
that's pretty much it.
Are people going to be getting, they're not going to be able to get out if they want to get out.
Well, you know, you gave you a couple, 3 days to make plans to get out of the area. The governor said yesterday that if you want to ride this thing out, it would be a pretty stupid thing to do on the Barrier Islands, but he knows people will do it. I talked to an emergency management coordinator in Bayhead, asked if people run into problems because they decided to stay, will you be able to do anything for them? And she said, yes, we'll make every effort to get there, but it could take a while.
Look, I mean, the officials on the East Coast have been really tough in trying to get across this message. I think it was a New York official, it might have been New Jersey, that actually sent out an email saying, think of the rescue people that would have to go rescue you or find your remains. I mean, they're really underscoring this. Are people taking that seriously? Because, you know, the New Jersey shore has been around forever. It has weathered storms. So are people, what are you sensing? Are they getting the message that this is different? And does it feel different to you, Phil?
Oh, yeah, it definitely feels different. I was here in 1992 and got to take a look at the nor'easter that occurred then. The water came back maybe about four blocks, maybe five blocks. That was in Point Pleasant Beach. But keep in mind, that was basically one where we had to worry about rain. This one, we got to worry about wind. That really adds to the storm surge. And just about everybody I talk to thinks that there's going to be more flooding this time.
Okay. Well, and we are...
People are taking it seriously, but there are always those who are going to stick it out no matter what.
Well, we hope you get safe. WHYY reporter Phil Gregory on the Jersey Shore as Hurricane Sandy, as promised, you know, hangs that left-hand turn and bangs towards the Jersey Shore. Phil, thanks so much. Be safe.
Appreciate it. Hope everyone else also manages to deal with this thing satisfactorily.
Yep. And, of course, we're waiting here in the New England area. We may have gusts of wind up to 75 miles an hour, 100-mile-per-hour gusts out on the Cape. A couple of little things we're noticing. Atlantic City's 12 casinos are shut today for only the fourth time ever. And the phone companies are saying, text, don't call. It strains the system less. And the National Hurricane Center says Hurricane Sandy is packing sustained winds of 75 miles per hour with higher gusts. It's moving towards the north-northwest at about 20 miles per hour. On track to collide with all those other storms, going to take parts from each of them, a wintry storm from the west, cold air coming down from the Arctic, hence Frankenstorm, its name. Major cities from Washington to Boston bracing for a storm that could menace 50 million people. We want to take a couple minutes with Steve Brown with our mother's station here in Boston, WBUR. He's down in southeast Massachusetts on the coast of New Bedford there, the most lucrative fishing port in the country, home to about 100,000 people, including one very close to our hearts. Hello, Mr. McKenna. You stay in your house. And Steve, what are you seeing there?
Well, I'm in downtown New Bedford, right outside of the City Hall. Not a lot of pedestrian traffic, needless to say, down in the historic village here, the Wailing City. There are a few cars going around, but all the businesses in downtown are closed today. People are being urged to stay home, and some neighborhoods have been suggested, not mandatory, they've suggested that maybe they should evacuate.
Yeah, and you know, we were hearing today reports that for New Bedford, it might be, you know, as big a storm as the blizzard of 78. You know, people in that storm were swept off their porches, you know, just horrible stories. So did you get the sense that people are listening to the warnings?
I believe they are. The police are taking it a lot more seriously. Early this morning, I was able to get down into the southern part of the city, right down almost as far south on land in Buzzards Bay as you possibly could go. And there was no problem, no roadblocks or anything like that. By 10 o'clock, only residents were being allowed to get into that neighborhood, the Clark's Cove neighborhood of New Bedford. Police were there checking people's licenses to make sure that they were, in fact, residents. Yeah. So the sightseers and the gawkers and the news media were told to turn around and go back to the higher ground.
Good. And just one last question. You know, New Bedford, are all the fishing ships accounted for today?
They are all inside. New Bedford has a large hurricane barrier. It's a big gate, and the Army Corps of Engineers determines when the surge is enough, and that was around 9 o'clock this morning. They decided to close that. So New Bedford Harbor and all the fishing ships, fishing boats from the, as you said, most lucrative fishing port in the United States, they're all tied up nice and snug to the pier down there, and they're not going anywhere.
Steve Brown of our mother station WBUR down in New Bedford on the coast here in Massachusetts. Steve, thanks so much.
Thanks, Robin.
More in 1 minute here and now.